Well, that's a wonderful lead into the message. The children, kindergarten age and under, you have a lesson prepared for you and some activities, so you're free to leave now. And we're going to be looking this morning at Psalm 34, so you can make your way there in God's Word as we prepare for that. My first question as a way of introduction to ask each of you is, what is it that people really want in life? I think it's a great question. Here's some things that I thought of. They want to be healthy. They want to feel good. They typically want a decent job and an income, at least some kind of security and a place to live. And I think they're also looking for other people around them that love them and care about them. And a sense of purpose. I think that people have a belief that if they have those things, that they're going to feel secure. They're going to feel peaceful and have an inner sense of wellness and happiness. And I want you to consider this second question this morning. Is it possible that a person can have inner peace and contentment and even a sense of wellness when life is not like that? When life is difficult? When they lack health? And perhaps the bank account is low and the people around them don't really love them that much? The question on the table this morning as we look at Psalm 34 is, where do we truly find blessedness and happiness in this life? This morning we're going to let David teach us about that. David, you're familiar with him in the Bible. We think of him as the shepherd boy. We think of him as the one that stood up against Goliath. We know him for his sin against God, as he committed adultery and even murder and found God's grace and forgiveness in that. We know him as the man who ran from Saul and yet respected him. We know him as a king of Israel. And I think what the scripture certainly says about David is he was a man after God's own heart. We're going to listen to him this morning. A man who passionately sought for the presence and the blessing of God. And as we consider his words, what I want us to do is to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each of us and teach us what it really means to be blessed. And brothers and sisters, I think if you do that this morning, you'll start to understand how you can truly be a blessed person. And here's the basic essence of how you are. I'm not going to keep it secret till the end. It's when you call on the Lord, especially in times of trouble, and then you experience His deliverance from fear and from trouble and from problems. So let's begin by looking at the psalm together. I'm going to read it through, and I will read it a second time and then go through it section by section as we look at the lessons. So verse 1 of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes a refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. So reads Psalm 34 in God's Word. If you noticed, looking in your Bible, there's this little heading that's included in the psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. We're not going to spend any time on that this morning. It seems to allude to an incident recorded in another part of the scripture in 1 Samuel 21:10 to 15. And the scholars that I read, at least in my commentary, said we can't really be sure that this specific psalm goes with that specific incident. But what we do know for sure as we read the scriptures is we know about David, that he was in many, many, many dangerous situations throughout his life and circumstances. And he is one that is an expert that knows what it means firsthand to be delivered from dangers and difficult situations by the hand of God. That's good news for you this morning. Does anybody have any problems? Anybody have any difficulties? Do you know someone who's facing stressful circumstances right now? Well, if that's you, I would guess that's all of us at some level. This is for you this morning. David certainly can teach us all about what it means to call on the Lord when we're in trouble and experience his deliverance. So as I prepared this lesson and I went through this psalm, it didn't come real easy. But the Lord was faithful, and I saw five lessons. So we've got five lessons. They're in your outline, in your bulletin, to help you track and to see where we are. And I want to read the five lessons through, and then we're going to go back and go through each of them specifically, and then I have a few questions at the end just to stimulate our thinking and to engage us in terms of application. And then in our community groups later this afternoon, we're going to meet and we're going to talk about our experiences based on the questions that are also provided in the bulletin. So let's look at these five lessons. First of all, just go through them. Lesson one, David makes a declaration in verses 1-3. Here's his declaration. I summarize this. I will praise the Lord in every situation. The second lesson is David's testimony. This is about himself in verses 4-7. He says, I cried out to God and he rescued me. The third lesson is verses 8-10. David puts out an invitation to his hearers. And here's his invitation. You too can experience the goodness of God. Lesson four, David becomes a teacher and he instructs verses 11-18 on how to have a blessed life. You want to know how to have a blessed life? We're going to learn that from his lips today. And last, lesson five, David's conclusion in verses 19-22. Basically is this: God saves his people from condemnation. We'll consider each lesson, then look at those few questions. So let's start with lesson one, verses 1-3, David's declaration. Here are the verses from God's word again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. The psalmist begins this song declaring that he is going to bless the Lord always, at all times, not just when things are going well, but even in times of trouble. Who else does this remind you of in the Bible? Well, we could pop over to the New Testament and listen to the Apostle Paul in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice in his instruction also, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where he tells God's people to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's David saying? What's he saying to us? Regardless of the circumstances, the situation, we can choose to bless the Lord. In fact, not just bless the Lord, but boast in the Lord and talk about his greatness. Even when we're facing danger, and even when we're afraid. How about you? How are we doing with that? I'll tell you how I'm doing with it, not too well sometimes. Sometimes when I'm facing difficulty and pain and sickness and troubles, I get quiet when things get difficult. My tendency is to kind of turn inward. Start to think about me. I think this is really pretty typical. I get subdued in times of trial. David's telling us something interesting here. He's saying that whether life is great or whether it's challenging, it's always time to praise the Lord. It's always time to proclaim that God is good and he is great. And brothers and sisters, what we say out loud in difficult times especially shows our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You don't know what's in a tube until you squeeze it. And as God allows squeezing to come into our lives and for us to be challenged, we start to see what's inside of us. When facing problem and difficulty, unfortunately, sometimes what comes out is complaint and despair. And we learn this first lesson by listening to David and observing that when he faced problems, especially here in Psalm 34, he said it's time to praise the Lord. We can choose to rejoice and praise the Lord based on the situation? No. Based on the problem? No. Based on the pain? No. Based on God's promise? Yes. Based on God's faithfulness to his people? Yes. We can declare God's greatness in everything that we face. If we follow his example, look at verse 2 and see what happens. When we boast in the Lord's goodness and the faithfulness as we face difficulty, the people around us who are struggling are encouraged. Their hearts lifted. Those who also worship the same God, they hear our words of praise and our worship, and their thoughts are directed away from their problems and towards their great God. Praise, brothers and sisters, is contagious. It's infective. David is so inspired by these words of praise and worship coming from his lips that in verse 3 he invites everyone else that hears that praise and worship to join him in praising the greatness and the faithfulness of God together. Now I'm going to get back real with you. Not that this isn't real, this is God's word. But I know where you live. I live there too. And I understand when you're having trouble and you're hurting, maybe physically or emotionally or financially, you don't feel like coming to this place. I wouldn't think so. I also understand that there are those out here, and I'm not talking about them this morning, that are physically not able to be with us. The church needs to go be with them. We absolutely need to work harder at that. But here's what I want us to see this morning. I'm talking to you, all of you that can be here because you're here, so that then you qualify for this one. When you're suffering, are you just having a bad time? When you choose not to follow your feelings and get up and get out and come here and get ready to come and come, and you choose to come and gather with your brothers and sisters for corporate worship, there's a twofold blessing that you will experience according to these verses. First of all, you will be encouraged because you will be around other people that are magnifying and praising the Lord. And, brothers and sisters, as you catch that contagious praise and you begin to praise the Lord, you will lift another suffering soul up. I know if you're like me, you've wondered, how do we encourage people who are discouraged and fearful and struggling and having a hard time? Well, one way to lift people's spirit is to talk about our God and to talk about His greatness and to talk about His mercy and to talk about His faithfulness. And I would think in a room of people here that have been under the Word of God, many of you for many, many years, and you know this great God, you have many, many examples of how He has rescued you and saved you and blessed you and helped you. Don't keep it to yourself, brothers and sisters. God didn't do that just to bless you. He did it to help somebody else. Come and boast in the Lord and let His greatness be known and shout and sing. And sometimes it's a gentle word and sometimes it's a listening ear, but we share the goodness of our God. It speaks light into darkness. It dispels fear and discouragement. The dark clouds of depression and hopelessness dissolve away. I want to encourage you to look for opportunities, even this very day, to share a personal testimony. Well, Dave, maybe I don't have a recent testimony. Well, we have a book full of testimonies that we can share. We can think of Joseph. We can think of the many characters of the Bible that face difficult times, and God has given us this record of His great deliverance in their lives. I'm just telling you, y'all need to get better at bragging. Not about yourself and how wonderful you are, about how great our God is and how wonderful He is. I believe in my heart that God is calling us to learn how to bless the Lord at all times and for His praise to continually be in our mouths. Lesson 2. David has his testimony of his experience. I cried out to God and He rescued me. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers him. David gives this reason why we can bless the Lord at all times. It's a personal testimony. He was so thankful. He was so joyful. He testifies that he was in fear and he was in distress for his very life. And he cried out to the Lord and the Lord answered him and delivered him from all his trouble. The Lord opened David's eyes to even see the angel of the Lord and how he camps with him. He's all around him, protecting him and keeping him safe even in the midst of difficulty. Oh, beloved, we have one who has promised to never leave us or forsake us. We have one that sticks closer than a brother. We have one that is with us in all of our troubles. We have a friend who controls everything. We have a sovereign King of the universe that loves us so deeply. Oh, how deep is that love of Jesus? Brothers and sisters, we need to be in this book and we need to get to know this Lord. How deep is this love of Jesus for you, His people? How much does He love us? So much that He left heaven And he came here to live here in this earth, this sinful, cursed earth. He lived among us. He was misunderstood. He was rejected. He was hated. He was despised. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He bore our pain and our sorrow. He made them his very own. He took our grief upon himself. He submitted himself to wicked, sinful men who whipped him and spit upon him and crucified him and put nails into his hands and his feet. And then they raised his body to the sky on a wooden cross, cursed. And this great loving Savior, as he sung there, he hung there in shame. He took upon himself the wrath and the punishment of God for our sins. How much does he love us? He gave his very life. My friend, if you're here today and you've received this one as your Lord and Savior, the Son of God who died for sinners, you need to realize this as well. He's not in a tomb. He's risen. He's ascended. And he's at his right, Father's right hand in glory, and he's now interceding for you as you face difficulty and trial and temptation. Why can we rejoice? Why do we sing? Even when we hurt and we're tempted and we're tried and we're burdened, because we have a friend in Jesus. Not just some little milquetoast, silly little guy. The very sovereign God of the universe became a man and walked among us. We have an all-powerful friend, a friend that knows our pain, he knows our challenge, a friend that camps around about us. And he promises that he will always protect us and he will deliver us safely into his arms home at the end of this life. Why did the believers' faces shine and glow even when they're in sorrow and in loss? It's because they have a friend. He's a faithful friend that is always, forever there in every single situation and trial and tribulation. And the only place you'll know that is by getting into this scripture and getting to know him. We can sing gospel songs and you'll feel it and hear it a little bit. But if you will take the time to come apart and sit down with your Savior in his word and get to know him, you will know that in the very depth of your soul. This is why, even when we don't feel like it, we can call out to God and ask him for grace in time of need, and he answers. We can persevere and we can keep on asking with thanksgiving and with gratitude, depending on his promise. What a friend we have in Jesus. The third lesson. David invites us. He says, you can experience this goodness too. Verse 8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer, and they want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. David now invites all who are listening to his song and his psalm of praise to join in, to come and taste and see for themselves how mighty and how good this God is. He tells us here that not only has God protected him, but he protects every person who fears him and calls out to him. He will not withhold any good thing from his children. Look at verse 10. I find this one to be interesting. This was one that you slow down and study a little bit. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. What an interesting verse. David's using a picture of young lions. Young, know-it-all, proud, self-sufficient lions, to illustrate those who naively believe that there's nothing they can't handle. Ever been there and done that? Ever known anybody like that? The young and the proud. They can handle it. I got this, bring it on. We're strong, we're mighty, we're tough. And here's the warning all through the scriptures that such pride and arrogance precedes falling, suffering, loss, and judgment. David is contrasting these pompous young lions with these needy people that look to the Lord for help. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Jesus said that the people that are blessed in this life are the poor in spirit, the hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Those who mourn are the ones that are comforted. Jesus came and he called to the people that were weary, that were heavy laden. He said, come unto me and take my yoke and take my burden, for my burden is light. The self-satisfied person would dare not admit his need. And as a result, he's here, God's here. He's under God's judgment and disfavor. We're born into the world that way, and they will stay there. Proud people live their lives with no regard for the one who gave them life. In other words, in contrast, humble people, they hear of God's deliverance, and they're glad, and they come and accept the free offer to taste and see that the Lord's good. Our amazing God, if you read carefully through the scripture, who does he offer this blessing and this deliverance and this provision to? He offers it to everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, interesting word, that would include anybody here, believes, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. If you're poor in spirit this morning, if you see your need, if you're hungry and thirsty for a righteousness in your life that you can't find, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, you have to give some stuff up, like your pride and like your self-sufficiency and your arrogance and your self-centeredness and your life. But if you'll come bringing nothing, the Lord will save you and he'll rescue you from the judgment to come. Here's an application for us. How do we respond? How do I respond when I have a problem? When I face a difficulty and when I need help? Sometimes I humble myself and I call on the Lord and I cry for help and mercy and he answers. Sometimes I look to my own sufficiency. I look to my own wisdom. I look to my own strength. What do you do? Do you boast to others of the Lord's goodness when you're struggling? Or are you ashamed to open your mouth and talk about him? I just want to pray for a moment here. Lord, help all of us to see ourselves this morning. Arrogant, self-sufficient, and proud at times. Such a blasphemy for your people to be like that. Take that from our hearts. Take that from us. Bring us down low, Lord, so that we might exalt you and your greatness and your deliverance, your salvation. Lesson 4. David's instruction. David wants to instruct us now on how to have a blessed life. These are amazing verses again, brothers and sisters. Just enter in here. Verse 11. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The psalmist now says, I want to be your teacher and I want you to be my students. Come around me and let me teach you. The topic is how to have a blessed life. You know what? We need a teacher. We need teachers. We don't know how to live this Christian life and how to have a blessed life. We don't come into this world with the answers. And there are many people that listen to the self-help gurus and politicians and philosophers and nutbags that tell you, look in yourself. Look down to your own heart. Follow your heart. Look deep within you. The answers are within you. Lies. That's all those are. They're lies. We're not born with the answers, brothers and sisters. We're born in Adam. We're born as broken people without the answers. We don't have them. We need to be taught. David says, I'm going to teach you. Come and listen. Some will, some won't. We need God's counsel. We need the counsel of His Word. We need to listen to people who know this Word. We need instruction from the One who made us. He's the owner. He gets how we work. We will listen to the one we fear and the one we respect. Isn't that interesting? Submitting yourself to the Word of God and putting your mind and your heart under the Scripture is worship. And refusing to listen to the Word of God is blasphemy and it is rebellion. My prayer is, Lord, I need to bow my head. I need to leave my pride. I need to humbly ask you to teach me. I need to tremble at your word, at your truth. I pray that you would speak to us right now through your Spirit by your servant David in this hour. Amen. To those who come to David, he teaches us the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. The psalmist begins with an interesting thought, like a good teacher, in verse 12. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? How many people would want a good life? That's his question. Is there any man that doesn't want a good life? I don't think so. That wants to live a good many days and live life to the fullest? I think that's people's heart. If we're honest, we desire that. The thought leads to a second question. Well, what do I have to do to have that life? David answers the question. The fear of God. The fear of God will direct our hearts a certain way, away from wickedness and towards righteousness, to holiness. Specifically, David doesn't keep in the generic general. He says, here's where it shows up. It's in our mouth. It's in our words. For a person to be happy, fulfilled, and blessed, God must become his all-consuming fear, his everything. And when God's Lord and Master, what we'll start to do with our mouth is use our hand and put it over our mouths. The first thing we'll do is we'll shut up and we'll be quiet and we'll be careful to only speak what is true, lovely, and praiseworthy. If we fear the Lord and if we submit ourselves to God and as we look into His Word and as He changes us, we will delight in goodness and will despise wickedness. And as far as peace goes, we'll pursue it in every situation. We'll be peacemakers, as Jesus said. So here's the application to that. Let's just do a little inventory on your relationships right now. First, your relationship with God, but then your relationship with all the people that you know. Are you at peace? Have you confessed your sin concerning that and put yourself back in step with the Spirit? Or are you harboring ill will and resentment and vengeance towards somebody? Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Did you know that you can be free of all that? Did you know that you can be set free from that? Did you know that's the way to a blessed life? And if you continue to be stubborn and hold on to that unforgiveness, you will end up in judgment and condemnation. That's what the Bible teaches. That brings us to this topic of change. Did you know the Christian life, the blessed life, is a life of growth and, dare I use the word, change? We enter this world as sinners. God, by His sovereign grace, opens our eyes to that condition and He brings us to Christ. We cry out for forgiveness and for cleansing, and we repent and we turn to Him and we believe in Him and we're counted righteous. God declares us as forgiven, completely accepted by Him, no condemnation. And then we begin this long life of change, learning how to put off and to put on, to move away from sin and to move towards holiness. We bring baggage into this relationship with God, and He wants us to drop the baggage, and He wants to cleanse us and cut us and remove this, and it's painful sometimes. But we fear the Lord, and we love the Lord with all our hearts if we are saved people, and we, as we see Him in His Word and we see Him in His Son, we start to see ourselves and our need, and we become poor in spirit again, and we mourn again, and we cry, and we hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's who we are as God's people. In fact, we look at the prophet Isaiah, and he called down judgment on his head. Woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. This was the prophet of God. This was probably the most righteous human being on the earth at the time. And when he got before his Lord and God, he saw himself and he said, woe unto me. And the angel took those tongs and took that white hot coal and put it on his lips to clarify his words. Brothers and sisters, we'll be consumed by a desire for righteousness as we fear the Lord. David tells us in this psalm, in this same place, about our brokenness. That when we are broken and we are crushed, that the Lord is most near to us. He binds our wounds. He heals our spirit. He saves us from the devastation of our own actions and thoughts. And as we cry for help, He hears us and He delivers us and He redeems us and He saves us. He saves us from our sins, and He delivers us from ourselves. He sets us free from our self-centeredness. If you want the joy and the blessing and the fullness of that abundant life that Jesus talked about, you get to die and He gets to live. Yet not I, but Christ in me. That's what Paul said. The self-centered life is a life of tragedy and condemnation. And the Christ-centered life is a life of joy and abundance. Lesson 5, the last one. David's conclusion, verses 19 to 22. God saves His people from condemnation. Verse 19. Please listen to this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. This final lesson exposes a most prevalent toxic error in Christendom today, the health and wealth gospel, so-called gospel. These false teachers would tell you that it is never God's will or plan for you to suffer as God's child. They would say that God wants you to have the very best of this life at all times, freedom from sickness, no pain, no suffering, no sadness, no struggle, and certainly no financial hardship. And if you've ever read more than two or three verses in the Bible, you know that's totally in error. Sheer foolishness. This psalm gives us one verse that refutes all of that in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them of them all. The blessing of the child of God is not that he's shielded from trouble. but that he has a faithful deliverer and friend in the midst of trouble. Jesus told his disciples that in this world you will have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer. You can bless the Lord at all times because I've overcome the world. If you have me, you have the overcomer. God is sovereign over every bit of evil and suffering. Did you know that, brothers and sisters? And he allows it, and he even sends it at times to us. He sends us difficulty. He sends us trouble. He sends us trial so that he can chasten us and cleanse us and strengthen us and save us and display his power and strength. Can God use you? He owns you, brothers and sisters. Can he use your pain and your suffering for his glory and for his purpose and his adversity? He promises that all of that in the child of God's life is for their good and for his honor and glory. Brothers and sisters, his salvation and his deliverance shines the brightest in a dark place. Here's a familiar verse out of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He sometimes shields us from trial. Certainly he protects us from a lot of bad stuff. It never comes our way. But sometimes he lifts that hedge and he lets that come to us. And we get to walk through. Did you understand my words? We get to walk through these trials with him. He's in total control of them. He's always with us. And ultimately, when we see him, we can be sure of this, that whether it's on this side of eternity or on the other side, we will be completely delivered from everyone, all sickness, all pain, all problems, all tears will be dried by our Savior. We are going to be ushered into a place of eternal joy that is free from sin and free from the consequences of sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, we long for that day, and some of you that are suffering are longing a little more than I am right now. And one day we realize that we will see him, we'll be like him, and this will be past. But here's what we need to know today, that Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to that glory. In comparison, what you're suffering now is nothing compared to the glory that's coming to you if you know the Lord Jesus. The same afflictions in this passage, the same difficulties and problems and afflictions in life that purify and build us up and draw us close to our God, destroy the wicked. David concludes this psalm by rejoicing in the redemption of the righteous from condemnation. Regardless of what you're going through, you are free of all condemnation in Christ. You stand accepted by God in the righteousness of Christ. And here's what's happening today. You're being set free day by day from the power of sin in your life. The very penalty of sin has been paid for. The very power of sin you're overcoming day by day as you're moved from glory to glory. And brothers and sisters, please rejoice with me. There is a day coming when we will not even be in the presence of sin any longer. And we'll be with our Lord free and clear. Hallelujah. I look forward to it. Brother Jim, I'll fly away. That's why you love that song, isn't it? Because when the trials of this life are just pulling you down, you're looking forward to the day of that freedom. God wants us to rejoice now by faith, not by sight. And he also wants us to rejoice in what's coming. So, I'm going to finish with this. Perhaps this morning you're a little bit discouraged. Maybe you're weighed down with some burdens. I want to encourage you and invite you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good and cry out to him. And here's how you're going to do that. If you follow my instructions, you're going to find a brother and a sister before you leave, and you're going to sit down with them, or you're going to talk to them, or stand out here and talk to them, and you're going to share some of God's goodness and you're going to ask them to share some of God's goodness with you. It's in the fellowship of the Lord that we're strengthened. You're going to come to community group tonight, and you're going to open up and be real and talk about real world and real life and how this applies. Now, that's for those of you that are brothers and sisters and know the Lord. There may be people here that aren't there, and they're a little confused about all this. So I want to talk to you for just a moment. You maybe haven't really fully tasted and seen, you haven't tasted and seen this kind of God. You maybe been religious. You maybe had an emotional experience. You maybe prayed, and maybe you've sung a song or two. And I'm not talking about this decision that you made 15 years ago and a prayer that you prayed once upon a time. I'm talking about a very living I am God that lives today that you can know in this way. A friend in time of trouble. A one that stands next to you when life's troubles come. If you're not sure you know that God, and you're not sure you have this saving protection and love of Jesus at this level, then I urge you to find someone here that you believe has that and ask them how they can help you lead you to that place. We have people here that know the Lord, and they would love to share His salvation. So four simple questions. I'm just going to ask each one and give a few seconds in between for you to think. In light of what we've listened to and heard this morning, how do you respond to problems in difficult times? Just want you to reflect on the last problem and difficult time you had, or the one you've got right now. How are you responding? How did you respond? Number two, this is kind of a yes or no question. Have you tasted God's goodness? And are you presently experiencing the blessing of the Lord? Third question, do you know what it means to fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Maybe that's a foreign concept. Do I fear the Lord? And the last question, do you know and without doubt that you've been rescued from the condemnation for your sins? I pray that those questions will bring you to understand where you stand before this beautiful lesson from David and from the Lord. So I'm going to pray for us for a moment, and then we're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus on 435. So even while we pray, if you want to sneak and get the hymnal and open it, I'm not looking. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for yourself. We're thankful for your salvation and for your spirit that makes all this real to us. We long to see you on that day when we'll open our eyes and it'll no longer be by faith but face to face. But now we face trial and trouble and woe at times, but we will bless you at all times, and your praise will continually be in our mouths, and our boast will be in you, Lord, because you are great and worthy, and that is true. I pray for that grace in all of our lives here this morning, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Number 435 in your hymnal.